It is not always easy for parents to reconcile work and family life, especially in the field of science. According to a study conducted by Daddy Life, an online guide for fathers, 45% of dads sometimes or often experience tension from their employer in trying to balance work and family life. You don't hear much about the struggles and success stories of fathers in science, and this is why I will talk to Mohamed Hussein today. He is a postdoc at ACIP and BOKU Vienna and father of two. He tells me how he experienced paternity leave, how companies can support dads, and what advice he has for other men. My name is Sophie Weinhandel, I'm your host. Today we won't talk about research, we will talk about the time when Moha was not in the lab. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
The reason you're here today is because you're a father of two and you want to talk about it. And I'm glad that you are ready to share your experience. How come? Why do you want to share your experience? What is your experience regarding family and job and reconciling both?
Well, as soon as I got my first kid, it looked like I can see this everywhere, and everybody's having kids, and kids are everywhere. Because before that, I didn't notice that at all. And actually, it's a common phenomenon. It's called the Bethe-Meinhof phenomenon, I think, or a frequency illusion. So it's once you have something around, you cannot stop seeing it everywhere. And it was nice that you get the support and you get experiences from other people, and being an expat is a little bit different, because you don't have your cousins and family and parents and people that maybe closer friends or your childhood friends that maybe have been parents before you and share their experience. And it felt like you're stranded alone, and seeing people share their experience made me want to maybe share it more publicly, and that just to tell people there, like, yeah, you're not alone.
You took parental leave, so you were at home. Why is this important why is it important to talk about that as a man, especially?
I took a parental leave with Noah, and I am planning to take a parental leave also with Zane. I took the Papa Monat, which at the beginning of the birth, you stay a month with the kid. And I actually try to take every advantage to spend more time with them. And for all the cliche reasons, yeah, spending time with your kids is great. And having a role model that both parents help with the kids, with work, with everything, and people are equal and set an example. All of those cliches are actually very real. But there is a very selfish point here that actually spending time with kids changed me a lot. Like, you hear all of this things that you're more empathetic, improves your cognitive function, your negotiation and handling skill. This is all true. And I saw this very, very strong shift after staying with Noah. Because if you can negotiate with a 2.5-year-old and throw him out of a tantrum that his biscuit got broken into 3 parts instead of 2, you can negotiate with your students, with your PhDs or with your master to maybe write this fast or make those 2 experiments because it makes more sense here. And you have more empathy towards people. It really changes you. It really does. So for both reasons, I think it's a great thing. It helps the kid a lot, but also it changes us. Spending time with the kids makes us more tolerant, the stress response. And if you think I was an efficient worker, forget that. After being a parent, efficiency comes to a different level. You know how to squeeze the 45-minute nap. You know how to squeeze a report in there. And then the revision in the next nap. It takes your efficiency and multifunctioning skills to a whole new level.
How exactly can I imagine that? So you worked, but you were also at home? Like, how
So while being at home... Okay. We work in life sciences, so we work with living organisms. And you cannot really tell yeast or CHO cells to grow a little slower because my kid this weekend is not here, or when the sampling ferment. So we don't have the luxury of scheduling everything to the minute. As long as we work with living organisms, they have the upper hand. That's it. Once they reach that OD, you need to sample. Once you read that. So even when I was on paternal leave, I was always on call for my students or for the people I'm supervising. If they write you a text like, the cells grew too fast, what do we do? And it's exactly like the kid. You need to react now. And this is some luxury we don't have in our career. So you already have something that is totally depending on you that you cannot look away. And especially that also you cannot plan it like, okay, I'll end all my experiments on this day and then go on carence for 3 months. I promise you, something in the lab in the cell culture will go wrong and make the experiments go like 2 days longer. Lab rules. Even if you're totally on vacation, your cells and your cultures will find a way to just take you even for 1 second.
So you were available, but you were not at the lab.
No.
But still, during your paternity leave, you were working, because that was not that clear to me.
I wasn't really working. I was on paternity leave. I was 99% with the kid, because you cannot be 100%.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is the luxury we don't have.
Yeah.
And it comes also in the other way. And it's flexible because you plan your experiments to an extent. So you have more flexibility, which is a luxury other jobs don't have. So it's not really a one-way street. It's a two-way street.
What do you think? How can companies support that? How can companies support active fatherhood like you had it, or like you still have it?
I mean, we're lucky to be, and I really mean this without any ads or killing to anyone, or like, Austria really has very good rules supporting parents, and companies adhere to it. But then you find different companies that only do the minimum they have to do to be on the legal side, and other companies that try to do a little bit extra. So one of the things that was very, very, very nice for me in ASIB, that when Zane was born, and I didn't know about this, when my second child was born, I have told them already that I'm expecting on the date, I'm planning to take the Papa Monat, but there's a trick. The Papa Monat only starts when the baby and the mother leave the hospital. That means while they were in the hospital, I was supposed to take care of my older child, drop him at kindergarten, go back to work, work 8 hours, go visit my just newborn, hours born, and then there was too many to handle. And as soon as I sent the email, HR replied, okay, you have 5 days off now. And that was a really good surprise, because this is something that you don't plan. I was planning to take them from my days off. Like I saved some days, but you see some companies go the extra mile, and it's not a big thing. I mean, it's 5 days, but it's five special days that I can take during, like, my kid was in the hospital, so I could really drop the oldest one at the kindergarten, spend some time with my newborn, like Papa Monat is supposed to be, in calmness, without the older brother want to play with the 1 day old. So small stuff like this. As soon as the baby went home, he found a small, nice hello, welcome home packets from ASIB. Again, it costs nothing, but it's a nice gesture, a handwritten note. Everybody in the in the project groups, nobody ever tried to rush me for a reply or if something happened, because also, you know, when the kid is born, it's nothing you can plan. So it can come in the middle of a big experiment, or it can come at any time. And people step up directly. And this is where the company culture and all of those things, you know, the company culture is so important and the people working are so important. But in those situations, it is the most true, because laws and rules can just do so much. But an understanding and empathetic supervisor and helping coworkers and people who actually help you to do this, this is way much more and goes much deeper into helping fathers and or mothers, or like fellow colleagues, in their time that you cannot plan it. They can, you can have all the due dates you want, but the kid will come whenever it wants. And usually, again, in the worst time possible. So companies can help as much as they can and can do as much as they can. They can have guidelines, but nothing beats the culture. And especially in ASIP, since a lot of scientists move all the time and go from a lab to a lab, and the exchange of science is what keeps science going. So a lot of us are away from home, and a lot of us understand that. So that's what makes actually ASIP a super family friendly, not that they go a little more behind the laws and try to help more, but the culture here is really, really welcoming, which explains why I've been here for so long. Left
Yes,
twice and came back.
We can be glad that ASIP is very family friendly. Still, I was reading some studies before we talked, and I found a study conducted by Daddy Life, which is an online guide for fathers. Maybe you know it. 45% of dads sometimes or often experience tension from their coworkers or from their employer in trying to balance family and job. Like, what do you think? How can we, work against these stereotypes, against these tensions between men, especially?
Exactly what we're doing here, talking about it, simply talking about it and saying that this is normal. I want to spend time with my kid. This does not affect work. And it's only at work. But, you know, in outside of work, it's the total opposite. Women get this the opposite reaction. And again, it's not fair because the kid has needs two sets of DNA. Like, they have two parents. So they should be treated equally inside the job and outside the job. And the only way to destigmatize this is to talk about it all the time, very loudly and very openly. And I think this is the only way to get this normal. And people will understand that at workplace, I might be gone in a second when I get a call from the kindergarten, but I will also put more effort and more work and more efficiency in the time that I am there. And like I was just talking, it really changes you. You are really more efficient. Troubleshooting skills, like, super enhanced. You're basically, on the weekends when you're with your kid, you're just troubleshooting. You're 48 hours troubleshooting per week. And this is kind of mental training that will make it natural to you. So people will understand there is, yes, cons of this, but there is pros. And especially in our career, when you, at some point, you start supervising and you start data analyzing and troubleshooting, and this becomes most of your job, being creative and troubleshooting, finding new ideas or finding new ways to tackle an idea or finding solutions to problems. And those of all two skills get really enhanced. So this is the only way. We talk and talk, and it's everywhere. The same with anything. People that lie outside of the society norms get out and talk about it. And then people will start seeing it. And again, frequency illusion starts happening. And more people talk about it, more people see it, and more people see it. And I don't know, within 20, 30 years, it's the normal.
Let's get deeper into your experiences. You already told us how you were supported by ASIP, but have there been any challenges for you, like as a working dad? What kind of challenges come to your mind that you had? What kind of challenges somebody else will maybe face? How can you prepare them for the challenges as a working dad?
So mainly the challenges that faces us or faces me, I will only talk about my career or our line of work in science, because probably a graphic designer or an IT will face different challenges. But it's usually, you will always need to have an understanding with your working group or in the lab that you might need to disappear in 1 minute notice. And if you do not have 110% supportive team supervisor and a supervisor, this won't work. You will face a lot of challenges. And the thing is, you in our career, you always have people you're taking care of, your students. If you have master students, if you have bachelor students, you're taking care of those. You're taking care of yourselves, which are also living, a third living thing beside your kids and your students. So if you don't have a supportive team, not rules, not laws, but a culture that understands, so you will need to talk openly with your supervisor. You will need to talk openly with your teammates that I might be late replying emails between, for example, 3 and 5. Or I need to pick up my kid on Monday at that time. Or if something happens, they will need to understand and cooperate. And this is where you get tension with men. When they say, yes, I need a little bit more flexibility, giving you a week's notice that my kid is going to be sick is not going to be feasible. And they understand. And that's where the tension happens, that you are always on your toes. Is something going to happen? I have this 6-day experiment. Am I going to be able to do it without something coming up? Because once you are involved with your kid and you want to be there, or you are responsible of certain aspects, then you will need this flexibility. And I think this is the most challenge that, outside of having laws and reformation and written rules, this is the biggest challenge. And this is why not a lot of people are afraid, not a lot of people are doing something about it, because they're afraid how to tackle it. It's not a rule, it's not a law. And those are the hardest things to do.
Do you have any kind of advice for men who might be in the situation that they experience some kind of tension, that they know, okay, now it's going to be uncomfortable because I have to ask for more flexibility? How would you do that?
So I did that with talking directly with my supervisor, but I told her that this happened, to be honest, with my second child, because, you know, there's an American idiom that says one is like none, two are like 10. So it's not having twice the responsibility, but it's like exponential. And that's why I felt the need to sit actually and talk with my supervisor and tell them that now it will be more. I will need more flexibility, but I assure you that my job will be done on time, deadlines will be met, and my duties in the lab won't be done in the same way I've been doing it for years, but it will be different. And once you connect with them on a human level and you give them the feeling that, yes, I do care about my work, I do care about my job, and I actually like it, that's why I'm doing it, and I want to be here, and I'm not going to let this affect it, but the ways of doing this might be different, you will always find, empathy coming. Because most of the aggression and defenses is coming from, oh, he's not going to be doing his job, oh, we will have a drop, or something. And it is the same exact way that faced women, but like with women it's like times 100, but it's always the fear that they won't be performing as well. Or in all businesses and in all industries, it is about money. And once you start thinking, oh, this will affect my money, the big holy grail in any industry, they will start being defensive, and they will start experiencing aggression. But it's really, they're just afraid that things will go sideways. And as long as you assure them, and as long as they see that this is done efficiently, the work is being done, that's it. So after that, I mean, if it doesn't work, which would be the case, and that's where you know that you're not in a family friendly place, and you know that this won't work with a kid, and everybody at this time can decide, they can change departments, they can change jobs. And that's why you see a lot of parents are leaving the places they work in right as soon as they get a child, or after a couple of months. They see this won't work with a kid. Again, we're talking from a place of luxury, and this is luxury a lot of people don't have. So I think always aiming to the humane side of people, especially if your boss or the boss's boss has family. There is a very weird examples of people that are really aggressive and defensive because they didn't get what you have now. Because at their age, when 20 years ago, there wasn't those rules and those flexibilities and the stigma. And they think, why would they can do this if we had to do it the hard way? And again, reasoning down that the job is not going to be affected or will need a little support and flexibility, and we were all here doing our best. This is our best bet here. And as long as we don't talk about it, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting what you're saying, because I guess it's kind of the same thing with feminism. Like sometimes you experience older women who are not as supportive because they may think, like somewhere in their head, there's still the thought, like I had, it was hard for me. Why should it be easy for her? Why should I make it easy for her? And I think it's kind of the same thing. Still, my experience or my personal feeling is that with women, it is somehow more taken for granted, like that they care for the children. And if you see a woman in an online meeting and she has her child with her, it may be like, okay, why does she have her child with her? Didn't she like find a babysitter? And when you see a man, you're more like, oh wow, he's such a loving father and he's so caring. Like,
very
what do you
interesting.
Think? How can we change that? How can we, I don't know. Do we need to be confronted with it more often, or?
You know, what you're talking about is exactly what triggered me. Last September, I was in a conference, and my second child was born in beginning of July. So that meant that my oldest son didn't get any summer vacations. And I decided to take them with me. Like it was on the seaside, and decided to take a couple of days after the conference for vacation. And maybe Noah can stay on the seaside. And it coincided that they decided, okay, so we can come with you in the conference at the beginning. We can do the boring sightseeing. And then after that, we have a family time. And my wife took the two kids for breakfast on the first day while I was doing the registrations and everything. And people were looking at her like, why is she doing this to herself and her kid? She has a 3-month-old kid and the other one. And the looks were different. The next day, the sessions usually started at 10. So I decided, and my kids wake up at like 6, because why wouldn't they? So I decided, okay, I'll take both, go to breakfast. My oldest kid in the morning is in a great mood. He likes breakfast in hotels, so I took them. And I was treated like a hero. At some point on the second day, and I quote, a guy looked at his wife, pointed with a loud voice, look, honey, and people say men cannot multitask. And at this point, I felt there is something really wrong. Like, it's really wrong. There is absolutely no difference. I mean, she's a parent, I'm a parent, both kids, two kids. The difference is 24 hours. It's the same location. Everything is the same except the person taking care. And at this point, this was, I mean, don't get me wrong, I really liked the people were super helpful, were super nice, and it was really different. It was a different experience. And I have to say, I was a little, not ashamed, but a little weirded out, because on the fourth day, I had a meeting with one of the professors to talk about something, and we decided, okay, to do it at 9. So she came to take over the kids a little earlier. At breakfast. And after the meeting, I went to pass by, and it was a totally different, like the people were looking differently, the people were avoiding. And if the kid cries with me, people start playing with Noah, or like, but if it cries with her, they start looking at her down. And this is weird.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed spending time with my kid. Most of the time, when I don't want to kill them, but it's the same. It's the same. We're the same parent. We're the same half. Of course, mothers have a different connection with the kids, and I'm not saying that about it at all, but that doesn't give the people the right to do that.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because I read a Harvard business study, and there it says that science tells us that females do not have any more parenting instinct than men. So basically, it's the same. I think
Yes.
parenting is also about practice and about
Yes. I
doing
mean,
it, just doing it.
there are physical things you cannot deny when
Yeah, of
breastfeeding,
course.
especially with the hormones and stuff. So I'm not going there. I'm only going up. They saw a human being with the same baby carrier, same child, and the reaction was totally different.
Yeah,
That's
so
actually the thing that triggered me. And if you start looking at when I started talking about it, was after that conference. And when I talked with more people, especially with our female colleagues, they were like, yeah, this is totally normal. I was like, no, it's not. And if we're going to change that, people need to talk about it and understand that there is no one rule fits all. Different careers, different works have different challenges, and different kids need have different needs. And it's a fact. And if more fathers want to be out there, they need to talk about it for the good of other fathers. Not, it's really a very selfish thing. If you want it to be better for you, you unfortunately have to make it better for everyone. So.
Yeah, and probably it's also like a slow going process of spreading awareness like you do.
I have to disagree. I don't think it's awareness. I think everybody's aware of the fact. I
Do you
think
think so?
people, yes, I think people are aware of that fact. They just don't like it.
Why wouldn't they like it? Like for me it seems like sometimes it's stereotypes, you're not aware of them, you just have them
Exactly.
in you. But
Yeah.
why wouldn't you want to change them?
Physics, laws of physics, objects and people don't like change. We don't like change. It's just embedded in our systems. It needs a lot of work. If anybody would have told me that, or thought that I would be doing this 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought about it. No, what are you talking about? But again, everything that needs big things that needs change, slow, take long time, and they are not really very easy. Especially if they are not laws to change. Because if you change it with a law, then people will come to accept it, and new generations will come and find this is the law and that's it. But the problem with those things, like a lot of other things, not in comparison the same, but anything that needs to change a stereotype or a way that we look at stuff needs time and needs change and need talking about and
I have another question. You can tell me if it's too private or anything, but I want to briefly shed light on the other side. Like, what did your partner say to you being at home, being an active dad? How did she experience the whole situation? And was she also on maternity leave or?
So we she also goes on maternity, of course. She stayed with the kids, with Noah, and she's staying now with Zane till I take over in June. I can't speak on her side, but I can say that also her boss was very, very helpful. He's a very active father, that's why that he was very supportive. She also got the feeling that in their company, in where she works, it's supportive because they have in the management more active parents, fathers or mothers. And even if the colleagues, the younger ones, the junior ones, or like the other colleagues, not in the management positions or in supervising position, don't like it, they cannot really do anything about it. And you always, when you're sick or a kid is sick and you need a Pflegeurlaub day, you always need your boss to be more supportive. And this makes a lot of difference. Regarding me staying at home, I think I would say she enjoyed seeing me in a non-paid full-time job, staying with a kid that needs everything immediately and coming back home to me like, okay, can you please take over for like 10 minutes? Because it is very hard. So for example, at my home, I don't say I'm going to work. I say I'm going to my paid job because staying with the kids is a job. It's really a very, very hard job. And hats off to every mother that manages to do this without having to be to become on a podcast and being, treated like that. Because guess what? Everybody's expecting that from mothers, and they do this every day. And it's really a hard job. And you don't get paid at the end. I mean, you got a hug and a kiss, and it's awesome, but it's very, very, very hard and very demanding because kids ask for stuff to be done now. So I believe she was very happy, and she was very happy that I'm doing it. Oh, she's very happy doing it. A little concerned because, after taking care of your kid all the time for like a long time and then leaving them with someone else, even if it's the father that's living with you, it's a different feeling. And the nice thing that she's vocal about it, and she talks about it. And I think she's looking forward to going back to work. I believe so.
Yeah, what you're saying is really important, I think, because of course now you are talking about fatherhood here, and I guess men sometimes are like more praised for it. But as you just said, like for women, usually it's expected or they do it, it's taken for granted, and it's really important also to say that here.
Hard work, and
Yeah, and we
that's
see
why
it.
it needs to be normal for both of parents to take care, because guess like two people doing it is a lot easier than one.
Okay, so let's get to my last question. What's your advice for men who want to become an active father? How would you sum that up?
First of all, don't be afraid or shy to ask for help. Ask for information, ask for help. In Austria, and I will only talk about Austria because I know, but go ask for at the Arbeitskammer. They have free beratung, like free consultations. They tell you all about the laws and the rules and the things you need to know and the benefits that you get by law. And then you can talk with your supervisor. You talk with your colleagues. Talk about it. Don't be afraid. You'll find support. You'll find support everywhere. Please reach out to me. Reach out to any friend or colleague that has a kid. You will find them helpful. Please reach out. Don't be afraid. It really changes you for the better for your job, especially if you have a managing role. You have much more empathy. You have much more efficiency, and you really become very good in troubleshooting. I promise you. I'll tell you maybe in 10, 15 years, but I think it's better for the kids. I believe breaking the stereotype as early as 1, 2, 3 year old, it will help a lot after 20 years to break the stereotype you're talking about. And we have what we have in our brain settled, because this is where the kids make their memories and what they le learn and teach and all the basics. It enters at this age. And if you start from that age, this is the most helpful you can be, because you'll have a generation that don't have the stereotypes that we're trying to break or trying to be normal. And yeah, maybe it will give men a little bit of a disadvantage that they won't be treated like heroes, but they will still have everything else. And your kids will see you as a hero.
All right, Moha, thank you so much for being part of the change and for talking about it. We're now at the end of the episode. And yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you for doing this, and yeah, I guess let's hope more people start talking about it.